20 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Several people are hospitalized after being shot during a fight between two groups at a popular beach in South Florida. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
The Memorial Day shooting happened near the Margaritaville Hollywood Beach Resort. Nine people were hit with bullets, and police say several victims were taken to a children's hospital. Deanna Bettineschi is with the Hollywood, Florida Police Department.
There was an altercation between two groups that resulted in gunfire. Right now, we do have one person of interest detained, and right now we're also searching for an additional suspect.
At the time, Hollywood Beach was packed. It's a popular beach destination between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Matt Piper, CBS News.
This Memorial Day travel weekend has been a smooth one, but CBS travel editor Peter Greenberg warns that summer travel could be disrupted.
The airlines are still continuing to publish a schedule that some would argue is unrealistic to begin with. When you have connecting flights of maybe 33 minutes on the schedule, you don't even have to have a hiccup to make sure that people miss those flights.
As events were held across the country today, early this morning, scouts from Troop 144 were placing Memorial Day remembrance flags, hundreds of them, at a cemetery in Fair Oaks, California. Scout leader Nancy Wilkerson.
The boys love it. To get up and be here at 5:30 in the morning says a lot. And so then they come back down at 2:30 and we take down the flags.
She says it's a great way for them to learn about the people who fought for our freedom. Eight rescues and no deaths reported after a building partially collapsed in Davenport, Iowa last night. CBS's Donya Backus reports.
The collapse brought a massive pile of debris to the ground.
No notice. It just came down like an explosion, like a bomb.
Another resident described the aftermath.
There was a lot of screams, a lot of cries, a lot of people saying help. When the building came down, but that did not last 2 or 3 minutes, and then the whole area was silent.
Davenport Mayor Mike Mattson credits the fast response of first responders for saving lives. The timeline is a bit clearer as to when the Texas Senate will hold the impeachment trial of Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton. Reporter Chris Fox in Austin.
The state Senate will hold the trial no later than August 28th with the 31 senators as the jury. 7 State House Republicans and 5 Democrats will handle the prosecution. Republican State Rep. Andrew Murr heads up that group.
You will see witnesses called, placed under oath, subject to both direct and cross-examination.
The Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics to set up an NBA final series against the Denver Nuggets on Thursday, Game 1 of the finals. And the Vegas Golden Knights advance to the Stanley Cup final. They'll host the Florida Panthers on Saturday for Game 1. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Tripoli expected this weekend to be the third busiest Memorial Day since 2000. That's when they started tracking holiday travel. They projected 42.3 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more from home. 37.1 million will travel by car. Gas prices are lower this year than last, with the average around $3.57 per gallon. That's up 12 cents from a week ago, but almost 80 cents cheaper than this time last year. When you're traveling this Memorial Day, the Wisconsin DOT is reminding drivers to slow down on Wisconsin roads and check 511 for roadway updates. Most road construction is on pause for the weekend to open up as many lanes as possible, and all Wisconsin rest areas are open. WISDOT Secretary Craig Thompson urges drivers to slow down and stay focused on the road ahead. He said that together, careful driving behaviors can help everyone reach their destination safely. Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI. From the staff at your locally grown radio station, happy Memorial Day.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 51 overnight under mainly clear skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, highs around 86. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 58. Temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 80s. Storms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
With the bumper music as it comes in.
We need a sponsor for that.
I know.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Do you think you can tame the national debt? I have no idea. Do you think you could?
Actually, I am pretty good with money.
Okay,
I've always mainly been pretty responsible with money.
So the Washington Post has put out a quiz, and I did not cheat.
Oh, good. You didn't take it already?
I didn't take it already.
Okay.
And I actually have my laptop up at the same time, so I'm going to have us both answer separately.
Okay.
Because I think we'd get different answers versus doing it together. But, since everyone in Washington seems to think that the national debt is too big, we just can't agree what to do about it, they made this quiz basically asking different yes or no questions on what you would keep, what you would cut. And how would you raise and spend money if you ran the federal government? Would you fund universal preschool, lower the corporate rate, boost Social Security payments, yada, yada? So they made a game that lets us make decisions and shows you what kind of budgeter you are.
Oh,
so
I love it.
Before we do that, just a quick update as far as debt ceiling negotiations, how they're going. Not great, Bob. Not great. Despite the appearance of some progress last week, the White House and Republicans remain far apart on an agreement to raise the debt ceiling or the debt limit. And they're meeting again today. So we'll see. But the main sticking point is government spending.
Yeah.
Republicans want a debt ceiling increase paired with a decrease in non-defense federal spending, including cuts to social services. You say something?
Haven't we given the Defense Department like billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and several other billions on top of that dollars just in the last couple of years?
And then they can't run an audit?
Right.
Yeah.
And they lose things.
Yeah.
Oops.
Democrats have accused Republicans of cynically pushing the U.S. to the financial brink to force through their cost-cutting agenda. Yesterday, Biden said the GOP's proposal would put food assistance at risk for nearly 1 million people, calling it extreme and unacceptable. The White House offered to freeze domestic and defense spending next year as a concession to Republicans, but they rejected that offer. The GOP wants more than a freeze. It wants a reduction in non-military spending. So,
and just a reminder that when Trump was in office, they raised the debt ceiling three times. No questions asked. And that 2017 tax cut for the wealthy added $7 trillion to the deficit. $7 trillion. That happened under Trump.
Mm-hmm.
A Republican.
Just a reminder. Okay, I'm going to see if I can share my screen. I don't think I can. Okay. All right, I'm not going to play with it live on air. All right, so this is we're going to play the game. So each card holds a policy decision, and I'll be dragging it to the right or left for us.
Okay.
As far as there's 19 of these, so we'll see if we can get through these in this segment. So first question: expand Medicare coverage costs $590 billion, and it would provide Medicare benefits for dental, vision, and hearing care. Yes or no?
I'm keeping it.
You're keeping it.
Yep.
I'm also keeping it.
Okay.
Oh, they're not in the same order. So we're just, Jane, this we're just going to see what kind of budgeter you are because.
You can't do it. We are.
It mixes up, to do it simultaneously, it mixes up the questions. So it's not the same question at the same time.
Okay.
All right. Business tax. Enact a Wall Street transactions tax, which raises $750 billion. Impose a 1% tax, a 0.01% tax.
0.01.
On trades of stocks, bonds, and derivatives. So this would be an extra tax on
trades.
Trades.
I can go for that.
All right.
0.01%.
Percent.
Okay, that seems teeny.
Yes. Environmental tax. Tax carbon emissions. Raises $1.3 trillion. Enact a new $25 tax per ton of CO2 produced.
Sure.
All right.
I'm feeling spendy.
Social spending. Cut Medicare benefits. Saves $750 billion. Increases the premiums seniors have to pay for Medicare and raise the eligibility age from 65 to 67.
No. And I don't think a lot of senior citizens want to see that happen either.
No, they probably don't. All right. Business tax. Enact a national consumption tax. Raises $3 trillion. Adopt a 5% national consumption tax on goods at each stage of their production.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I worry about small business.
Okay. Children in education. Universal pre-K and expanded childcare costs $970 billion. Dramatically expand childcare up to age two and offer pre-K for all 3 and 4 year olds.
Yes.
Pretty much so far we're on the same. Yeah. I'm not sure that you've answered anything that I would be different anyway.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Social spending. Enact House GOP debt ceiling bill saves $4.8 trillion. Dollars slash spending on domestic programs over the next decade.
No.
No. All right.
No.
Social spending. Expand Social Security for low-income seniors. Costs $400 billion. It increases the size of benefits and grows payments at a faster rate.
For right now, I would say no.
Okay. Business tax. Lower the corporate tax rate.
No.
Would cost $1.1 trillion.
No.
Decreases from 21% to 14%.
Yet.
All right. Cut Medicaid benefits.
No.
Save $667 billion. Cut federal reimbursement rates for providers who treat patients covered by Medicaid.
No.
No. Business tax. Raise the corporate tax rate. This raises $1.1 trillion, and it increases it from 21% to 28%.
Does that cover, like, every LLC? Anyone who's a corporation would see a 28% increase?
I don't know. Yeah. More info. What does it say? Raise the corporate. Proponents say large corporations could afford to pay more in taxes, while critics say raising the tax would stifle economic growth and innovation. It does not say what limitations there are on the size of the company.
Well, it did say large corporations. And considering that CEOs of large corporations right now are averaging, I believe it's about 1,300% more in salary than their lowest paid worker, I would say yes.
Okay. Personal tax. Enact a wealth tax. Raises $2.2 trillion. Impose a tax on wealth for multimillionaires and billionaires.
Yes. Sorry, you're going to have to wait for that fourth chalet in Switzerland. I know it's crushing. I know you're struggling, but you can make it.
Foreign affairs slash foreign aid saves $148 billion. Reduce spending on international affairs outside the military by 25%.
It's a global economy. We have to have allies.
Okay, so you're saying don't slash it.
No.
Personal tax. Eliminate the estate tax. It would cost us $372 billion. Repeal the tax on estates worth more than $12 million.
No.
Okay. Social spending. Cut Social Security benefits.
No.
Can Mary answer this? Save 100. Reduce the amount. Okay. Children education. Enact Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. Costs $400 billion. Cancel up to $20,000 in student debt for most borrowers.
$20,000 would be the cap.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Get two more. Children in education, tuition-free public college costs $700 billion. Provide free college tuition at community colleges and public four-year universities and universities.
I don't think that's feasible. I'll say no.
All right. Cut defense spending. Saves $995 billion. Cut projected military spending by 13% over the next decade.
I think the military has enough money. And if they can't budget with the billions and billions and billions of dollars that they have, then they need some remedial mathematical courses.
Okay. That's a yes?
Yes.
Personal tax. Extend some of Trump's tax cuts. Cost $1.4 trillion. Extend the 2016 tax cuts that benefited Americans earning less than $400,000.
Read that one again.
Extend some Trump tax cuts. Costs $1.4 trillion. Extend the 2017 tax cuts that benefited Americans earning less than $400,000.
Yes.
So extend them?
Extend them.
Okay. You're a diligent deficit hawk.
Oh, look at that.
Your top priority is getting our fiscal house in order. Unlike the big tax and spender, or your arch nemesis, the money printing maverick, you believe that the national debt is the foremost crisis. This is a really funny, different version of a Cosmopolitan quiz. This is like a policy nerd quiz versus like, what kind of dater are you?
We should send this to the Wisconsin Policy Forum and have them analyze this.
We should have them be. I just thought of that. I'm just like the quizzes we took in Cosmo. And then it gives you some kind of like quippy title. It's a little different. You are skeptical the federal government should expand social programs, but you also believe it in higher taxes to ensure that the debt doesn't get out of control. Any small increases in spending you support need to be offset with new taxes. And your policy choices would cut $3 trillion from the debt over the next decade. That is 5% of the projected figure. So there you go.
I think that's a reasonable outcome.
Yeah. But that's a really fun little quiz you can go do. And I think it's, again, reading those numbers off.
Can't even wrap your head around it.
It's like, what is 1.1 trillion versus 400 billion? And
right.
It's a huge, huge difference. But just like, I think I feel like the money needs to come with bar graphs to start to actually visualize when you think of those like incomprehensible numbers.
Yeah.
How much that one thing is versus this other very expensive thing.
Yeah. We'll use M&Ms or something.
Because just reading them off in those questions, it's like they just start to sound the same.
It's so much money.
It's so much money.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're a Succession fan, you may know that Milwaukee has been part of the plot line for this final season of that hit show. And Ann Jacobs actually did an interview with WISN on part of that plot line and what would actually happen in real life if that storyline were to happen in Milwaukee. So stay tuned. We will play that and talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
But it can help us achieve all the dreams we want, like this microphone that we're recording on.
So you just used bug spray in your home. Now what? Well, between the waiting and waiting for things to dry up and keeping your family away from the mess, it hits you. You could have used Zevo. Unlike other bug sprays that stick around, Zevo goes from kill to clean in seconds. Plus, it's safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight, except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All rule.
This is the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry.
That's what this is.
She is Jane Matt-Nair. And you don't watch Succession, right?
I've watched a couple of them. They're all so unlikable. I want them all to fail.
Yeah. But part of the show is watching them go up and down and fail.
Yeah,
and
but some of them are going to skate away just fine and nothing will happen to them.
Yeah. Well, it's some of the best writing and acting. It is really good. I agree with you that it's just all of them are
awful.
Awful people. And it also just makes me, watching that show makes me think of how realistic in those powerful circles of politics and media and tech and because Kara Swisher does the official Succession podcast and she is arguably the most influential big tech journalist in the country. She asks the best questions. She is kind of on again, off again with Zuckerberg or Elon and how much they want to talk to her and super smart. And so it's interesting when you listen to the podcast, when she recaps the shows and goes, so it's a combination of interviewing either some of the crew, creator, showrunner, cast, but then they also interview a real life person about a situation that happened in Succession.
Oh, fascinating.
So this season there is a very potential merger happening and she interviewed a past CEO of Twitter, but he's done a bunch of different things and talking about how these mergers typically go. It's a great podcast, but it's also in that one specifically talking about the egos and how much of the show is relatable to people in those spheres. And it's almost like how the show Silicon Valley, which I certainly recognize some of my experience in, but that same CEO, he consulted on that show, which was a comedy. And there was things that he did not give the writers team that they just came up with organically that then he would get texts from people being like, I can't believe you told them that.
Oh, wow. I didn't tell him.
And so I always think about that when I watch this show of who would actually want to live in this world? And yes, there's so much money at stake. There's a lot of power at stake, but just being surrounded by awful people all the time.
And you have to fake it. I know.
Ugh. Anyways, so in the last 2 weeks, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Wisconsin in the Wild has made an appearance in this very, very popular show because they are in a fictional election, a fictional presidential election has happened, and it comes down to a fire at the central count in Milwaukee, where 100,000 votes get burned.
Get destroyed.
And so ATN, which is basically Fox News in this world, calls it for the super scary right-wing candidate. And now in the show, they're going through all of the legal ramifications of that. So obviously, I think people had mixed feelings because we're still a little scathed by the election was stolen in 2020 and Milwaukee and
all
of
the election deniers.
But WISN interviewed Ann Jacobs, who is a member of the Wisconsin Elections Committee. And just to talk a little bit more, let's play a little bit of it.
All right. Okay. Here's the first clip.
So if it happened in Milwaukee and if it's deliberate, then it's Mankiewicz, no?
False flag, could be.
You can't just say false flag.
In like 1960, in year 2000 and 2016, these unbelievably close election moments kind of keep on coming in the U.S. So it felt legitimate to have another one.
That was the showrunner. This is a clip from Ann Jacobs talking about what would happen if this scenario happened in the real world.
I thought that the show writers did a very good job of getting a lot of the details about how Wisconsin elections work and how Central Count here in Milwaukee would work. The one thing that I thought they didn't quite get right is in the show, they said that they couldn't know who had successfully mailed in or submitted their absentee ballots. And that's just not quite true. Here in Wisconsin, our clerks, like the City of Milwaukee clerk, are able to scan in the barcodes of all the absentee ballot envelopes that are received. And they do that, and then it immediately goes into the computer system, the statewide computer system, so we know whose ballots have arrived pretty quickly after they come in. So that was one thing they got wrong, and it sort of plays into their plot, which is we have no idea whose ballots they are, we really would know whose ballots had burned up.
So that's the big difference as far as there is tracking.
Yes.
And actually, as a reminder, for anyone who has ever voted absentee, you can go on myvote.wi.gov and watch your vote get counted. Once you mail it back in, you can actually go on that site and it checks it off as far as we have received your ballot.
Yep.
But then what was also interesting is, like, because now the major plot point of the show is what happens. And truly, I didn't know, like, if some kind of accident happened in Wisconsin where 15,000, 20,000 votes
can make
the difference. If something happened where 100,000 votes were destroyed, what would actually happen? So she answered that as well.
Terrific question, and everybody's asking it. And the reason nobody's answering it is really nobody knows. Mm. We would have court case after court case. We would be in state court. We would be in federal court. My suspicion is we would wind up with some sort of amended deadline for resubmitting ballots or allowing people to vote. That certainly would be my hope, because if this were to happen, what you wouldn't want to see is 100,000 people completely disenfranchised. I think that would be the worst possible outcome. But do we know? Nobody knows, and I hope we never find out.
Me too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people with you on that one, Ann.
I'm hoping that episode didn't spark any ideas. So, all right. Well, when we come back, State Senator Melissa Agard will be here to talk about her grassroots tour and maybe ask a couple of other questions about what's happening at the Capitol. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin from Waukesha. Broadcasting to the...
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10.06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10.06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Flags flew at half-staff on Saturday to honor Navy Seaman Second Class David Joseph Riley, who lost his life in the attack on Pearl Harbor. He was among more than 50 Wisconsinites who lost their lives that day. Seaman Second Class Riley was assigned to the battleship USS Oklahoma, which was sunk during the attack on December 7, 1941. He was killed along with 428 crewmen. The Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency has been working since 2015 to identify the crewmen of the USS Oklahoma. Seaman Second Class Riley was positively identified in 2021. He was posthumously awarded a Purple Heart, the American Campaign Medal, and the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal. He was buried with full military honors in Judah, Wisconsin on Saturday. Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI on Civic Media on air and online. From Pam, Chuck, Ashley, Randy, Tim, Don, James, Seth, and Melissa, happy Memorial Day.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of aloft around 51 overnight under mainly clear skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, highs around 86. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 58. Temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 80s. Storms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 62.
Of marijuana in Wisconsin. So what has been the goal of that tour?
So we have already visited three communities in Wisconsin. We were in Green Bay, We were in Platteville and we were in Wauwatosa. And it is really clear that people in Wisconsin are completely frustrated by the lack of action by my Republican colleagues here in Madison. Folks know that Wisconsin will be safer, that we will have more prosperity, and that our personal liberties would actually be protected with the legalization of cannabis. Close to two-thirds of the people in Wisconsin support responsible adult usage. And we also know that, and this was before Minnesota boldly legalized weed on Friday, that even before that happened, that adults over the age of 21, over 50% of them live within 75 minutes of a legal weed dispensary. And people in Wisconsin are taking advantage of those legal weed dispensaries. You go to them, the parking lots are full of Wisconsin's cars. So clearly, people are taking time out of their valuable days and spending their valuable and hard-earned dollars to travel to other communities to buy legally regulated cannabis in those communities and bringing it back to Wisconsin, where they may face very harsh penalties because of the laws that are in the books here. It's not a matter of if this is going to happen, it's a matter of when. And I very much believe that we should have a homegrown Wisconsin solution to prohibition, as opposed to a solution that would come from the federal government. But as the days tick by, it's seeming more and more like it's going to be up to the federal government to get us across the finish line on this. But I'm going to give it the good old Wisconsin try. I'm going to keep working on this because I know that my friends and neighbors all across Wisconsin are asking for us to change our laws, and that prohibition did not work with alcohol or margarine. It's certainly not working with cannabis.
I do love that whenever we talk about this, everyone knows prohibition of alcohol and all of that. I feel like it's still less known that Wisconsin tried to forbid margarine for a long, and that margarine was made, wasn't it pink for a while?
They would, in certain states, they dyed it different colors, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in some states it was pink, in other states it was white, and you could get a little yellow dye packet to stir into the oleo or margarine in order to turn it yellow.
Yeah.
They did oleo runs.
It was oleo runs. Yeah. And so it's so funny because I think about it now as far as the war, like the milk wars that are happening versus the plant juice versus the
milk versus juice.
But back to the subject at hand. So I guess, as you said, this feels so frustrating because despite I feel like every time there is a Marquette poll, the percentage of people in Wisconsin who want this goes ticks up, ticks up, ticks up, ticks up. And I guess first question, in your 3 out of 4 stops that you've had so far, when you talk to constituents, do you run into constituents who don't want this and who do talk about what their concerns are?
So certainly I look forward to those conversations because I think if we know where people's pressure points are, what makes them uncomfortable or worried, that good law, frankly, addresses those concerns. Mm-hmm. And we have had, I would say, the vast majority of people that have shown up are scratching their heads and saying, what's the hang up? And we have had a few people that have come in and have been worried about our kids. As a mom of four, I worry about our kids too. I think that everyone in Wisconsin, that is a priority. That's something that we define ourselves as people who care about our kids and our future. But prohibition does not make us more safe. It doesn't make our communities safer. And it doesn't make our kids safer. We know that with legalization, you can actually, in regulation, you can actually have factual science-based conversations with young people about brain development, the importance to eat healthy food and drink lots of water and exercise and put your cell phones down and don't smoke pot. But if we're not talking about it, all these young people across Wisconsin, they can gain access to weed on the illicit market in the state of Wisconsin very easily. And with the data from other states that have legalized, we're able to see that youth usage does not increase, and in many cases actually decreases or stays status quo. We're not introducing a new substance to the state of Wisconsin or to our kids. Yeah. It's a robust industry. It just happens to be an illicit industry. So primarily the answer, you know, to stick my landing, to answer your question, most people are confused about why it is that we're not moving forward if the majority of the people want this to happen. And the people that do come with a little bit of skepticism, I very much want to hear them and believe that we can address their concerns with responsible legislation.
Our guest is State Senator of the 16th District, Melissa Agard, who launched her grassroots tour pushing for the legalization, rather, of marijuana in Wisconsin on 420. Senator Agard, in the past, I've talked to veterans who really, really want to use medical marijuana because they are having so many bad reactions from pharmaceuticals that they have been prescribed, and they're not getting the results or the relief from pharmaceuticals that they do get from marijuana. I can't imagine the frustration for that particular group that this is just falling on deaf ears.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, with a responsible adult usage policy that has a medicinal component, which is a bill that I've championed in Wisconsin for over a decade now, we don't need to pick winners and losers. Certainly our veterans, people who suffer from chronic illness, people who are debilitatingly ill would be able to have access to a plant that does provide them with real relief. We also know that we would be able to address impaired driving, youth usage. We know that our main streets would flourish. Farmers in Wisconsin are clamoring to be able to engage in this new industry. We would be able to make a positive impact on our egregious racial disparities in the state of Wisconsin. We have the worst racial disparities in Wisconsin. Certainly legalizing pot isn't going to address it all, but it'll make a big difference because Black and brown folks in Wisconsin are between 4 and 7 times more likely to be arrested for simple possession than white people, despite similar usage. And then you add on to that our personal liberties, our freedom. Using cannabis is not going to do harm to other people in our communities. And we, as responsible adults, should be able to make those decisions for ourselves. So yes, those veterans, those stories, they are heartbreaking. I have heard many of them. And, you know, folks don't want to lose access to their ability to have public benefits or to have housing or school scholarships or the Second Amendment. And with prohibition of cannabis in the state of Wisconsin, all that is on the line if someone is popped for having access to this plant in our state.
And so, in most of our bigger cities, Milwaukee, Madison, I think Stevens Point has even passed this, and a lot of the bigger parts of Wisconsin, it's fairly decriminalized, right? And so when you say that the harsh laws, like there's a huge discrepancy of if you are caught with possession of marijuana, what could happen to you depending on where in the state you are, correct?
Absolutely. So that's the one thing that local governments can do when it comes to cannabis policy is they can decriminalize it at the local level by making the fines less and less. So for example, in the city of Madison, the fine for possession of small quantities of marijuana is $1. In other communities, it may be $100. But that is for possession. It is vitally important that we support our local governments. Local control is super important to me as someone mm-hmm. who came from the county board. But we have had legislators introduce a number of different policies over the years when it comes to cannabis. And one of them was a decriminalization policy that would have actually increased penalties in communities like Madison, Milwaukee, Eau Claire, Monona. The list goes on and on, where the fines would be in the hundreds of dollars as opposed to the work that was done on those local levels. So the devil's in the details with all policymaking. And I do think that the fact that local governments are looking at decriminalization, one of the only tools they have in their toolbox, we should not be taking that tool away from them. But we should also, as the state legislature, be following their lead, listening to the people of Wisconsin. And Kristen, as you pointed out, the number of people that are actually prohibitionists in the state of Wisconsin is pretty slim. Mm-hmm. The data on a national level is a little bit more available to us than at the state level, but it's looking at like less than 10% of the people in our nation believe that cannabis prohibition is a good idea. Even in Wisconsin, the majority of Republicans now support responsible adult usage. And certainly medicinal policies as well. So, you know, once again, the will of the people should be the law of the land. There's a laundry list of these policies. No one is unfortunate. You know, it's not that people are picking on just cannabis policy. There's a long list of policies that are not moving forward in Madison because of partisanship in the legislature and the inability of the Republican Party to hear what it is that the people of Wisconsin actually want.
Well, and speaking of that, Senator, I'm curious, in some of the stops that you've made, I assume some constituents have tried to reach their lawmakers, and I'm curious what kind of response they're getting back from them, if they respond at all.
Yeah, so when I go into a community, I welcome members of the legislature, even if they're from the other side of the party, to join me. So far, my Democratic colleagues have welcomed those invitations and have joined me at the grassroots tour stops. I haven't had any Republicans do that. I'm looking forward to this Thursday being in Eau Claire, and then next Thursday I'll be in Wausau. We have two more stops before I'm going to have to slow down on this tour and roll up my sleeves and be present in Madison for the budget deliberations. But the response has been overwhelming. People want us to continue. I hear their voices, and I will be embarking on round two of the grassroots tour later this summer, and look forward to hearing from folks. Maybe some of your listeners have ideas on where it is they would like me to stop, because certainly we're not having public hearings in the Capitol on this issue, and hearing these stories, whether it's from the veterans or from the small business owners or the farmers, hearing them firsthand, make sure that this policy that I am working for is really for and by the people of the state of Wisconsin.
And so I guess that to end there, because as you said, at the pace we're going, it's likely going to become legally federally before we legalize it in this state. And so does that kind of get at the heart of why it's still so important to do this, is just to continue to beat the drum to show how popular this is, to not roll over, to not just throw your arms in the air. I was like, well, we can't do anything because the Republicans have control of the legislature. So until they move, we might as well just try to work on stuff that actually might happen. Like, what is, in the minute that we have left, why is it so important that even if it feels like it falls on deaf ears, to keep banging this drum?
Wisconsin's an island of prohibition, with Minnesota just legalizing. The governor is set to sign it next week. Illinois and Michigan have legalized. We know that this is highly popular in the state of Wisconsin. The people of Wisconsin deserve to be heard, and I hear them. And they deserve to have a forum to share their dreams, their thoughts, and their concerns about this policy to make sure it is drafted in the best way possible for all of us. I very much believe that the people of Wisconsin are my bosses, and I look forward to every single one of these conversations with our friends and neighbors. And I'm not going to end until this is actually the law of the land.
Well, we appreciate your work and your fight. Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard, we can't wait to hear you hear your progress, and good luck in the Capitol, because we know it's always spicy there. Great having you.
So.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe, because that's your life. The other part of it is, if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Let it slip, it cough, it check. Talk to the doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Is the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I love this.
So a story, depending on how you read this, I feel like this is either a redemption story or a horror thriller. Because a traumatized orca called White Gladys may be behind the rise in killer whale attacks on boats in the Atlantic Ocean, scientists believe.
This is crazy.
So you have to remember, whales are mammals.
Not sharks.
Killer whales are very smart. Dolphins, very smart.
Yes.
So while most orca interactions with boats are harmless, there's been a spike in aggressive behavior towards boats since 2020, biologist Alfredo Lopez Fernandez told Live Science. As Insider recently reported, there have been 3 cases of distinctive black and white creatures sinking vessels by ramming into them.
Yep.
So it seems like orcas may be imitating this aggressive behavior from other killer whales, with Lopez Fernandez saying that one female named White Gladys could be the culprit. So experts believe White Gladys may have had a critical moment of agony, such as colliding with a boat or being trapped during illegal fishing, Live Science reported. This event may have traumatized her and caused her to start ramming other boats.
Not going to happen to me again.
And so... is it bad that there's a part of me that's kind of like, all right, White Gladys, like after you got traumatized, like I get it. Like I get it. And you're like, oh, not again. We're not doing this again. You're going down. You taught myself how to ruin your boat. And now I'm going to teach my friends.
Exactly.
So stay out of here.
And my friends' kids. And I have a little clip from Australian television, also speaking to a marine mammal expert.
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Orcas attacking boats. People have literally seen this happening over the last 2 years. This has been documented a lot more frequently than one would think.
Well, do they know what the boats are, or do they think that they're something else? Are they actually innocent in this, or are they conniving?
Well, I would say that they definitely know what they're doing. And researchers have published a preliminary study just showing that they're attacking more sailboats than motorized boats. So if you're a sailor out there, sorry. And if your boat is around 12 meters on average, well, a killer whale in that area is likely to come for you.
Is it fair to call them conniving? I think that's an unfair assignment.
Scripture?
Yes.
Calculated?
Intelligent.
Intentional?
Intentional. Intentional is
intentional.
Good.
They have purpose.
Yes, in doing this.
This isn't an accident. They're like, oh, ran into the boat. Sorry about that. Let me go on my way. This is...
intentional.
I am trying... because you think about it every once... there was one video last week that was terrifying. There was like a motorized kayak or something, and they had a GoPro or some kind of video, and a big butt shark. Big butt shark. came in, and they think the whale, the shark probably thought it was a seal, because as the way that, like, same thing with surfboards, often from the bottom they look like a
could be some, another creature.
Looking seal. Yeah. But this video of this shark that comes out of the water and tries to take a bite out of the kayak, And, like, shockingly, the kayak didn't flip over.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing. But that seems like, oh, I was trying to eat you because I thought you were a seal. And then he left him alone when he realized he wasn't. Versus Orca, who sees the boat and is potentially intentionally saying, I'm going to F your boat up.
Because of what happened to me.
And so, if this keeps happening, what protections do the orcas have, do you think? Because, I mean, it's international waters, right? If this is just in the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, I believe it's happening primarily in the Strait of Gibraltar. So, I don't know, but those are still, right? Those are still international waters. So, I don't know.
Because, you know, I feel like so often when it comes to wildlife, there's this push and pull, you know, when we think about when there is coyotes or there's, you know, the different wildlife that gets into. Did you see that there, I saw on Reddit, there was two deers just walking down downtown Milwaukee this weekend.
Are you seriously?
Yeah, I'll send you the picture. Literally like downtown Milwaukee, two deer, like two does. And so says a lot for our nightlife.
Yeah.
how busy well, downtown Milwaukee is on a Saturday night that two deer just like chilling, not scared, just walking down Wisconsin Ave. But you know what I mean? As far as the protections that go into sometimes euthanizing bears because they're in campgrounds or whatever.
And they keep going back.
And so like in this situation, like if the orcas keep flipping boats, who's going to call for, I don't know, doing something about the orcas so that boats can do their thing versus the protection of the orcas to say, like, boat at your own risk?
Well, isn't it already pretty much boat at your own risk?
I guess that's maybe. Is that part of, like, the inherent adventure of boating? Is that a wave may come and just capture you?
There can be sharks. There can be... And Google says all killer whale populations are protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
So you're just SOL, I guess. Take boat at your own risk.
Get a bigger boat. Because if they're... And I find meters very confusing. A 12-meter long boat, I don't quite have the vision of what that means.
It's like...
If it's 30 feet, I have a better idea of how big that is.
I think that's about... Similar. Isn't there 3 feet in a meter?
You're asking me.
I always forget how close a yard versus a meter is because they're basically about the same. Yeah. I wish we would have been taught the metric system.
12 meters is 13 yards.
12 meters. See, they're very close.
They are pretty close.
Anyways. All right. Well, I'm Team Orca on this one, mostly because I don't go boating in the Atlantic very often. So this is not my problem. And go White Gladys.
Just how terrifying that must be.
Oh, to be on the boat when it's happening?
Yeah, to be on the boat
terrifying.
When you're getting rammed. And as far as I know, while the boats have sunk, everybody's made it back to a shore. So it's not like she rams your boat and then you sink and then you're floating there as she swims around taunting you.
I know. Too bad there's a writer's strike right now because the White Gladys revenge thriller could be... Excellent.
Someone's working on that already in their time off.
Someone's already plugging it into AI to see if they can...
You bet. Come up with a script. Let's get this into production.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk to Laura Bray, who is the Vice President of College Advancement and External Communications and the Executive Director of the MATC Foundation, about Milwaukee's leaky pipeline to higher education and what all of the local higher education institutions are doing to work together to try to fix it. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's WFHR, Association.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown.